up to what God might want to say to us this morning and what God might want to do in us and through us as we leave this place. So a very warm welcome to you. And we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. So just two verses of scripture this morning together. But they speak very much of allowing God to transform us and change us. And so my prayer this morning as we begin is that we will be open to that as we meet here or as you tune in and watch online. Welcome to you. That maybe you allow God to transform you and change you a bit this morning. So before we sing our first song, I just want to pray that, and I invite you to make that your prayer today as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you invite us into a relationship with yourself. As our Father, you welcome us into your presence. And God, I thank you that you love each of us just as we are. But your desire and your heart for us is to make us more like your Son, Jesus. And so as we gather in this place today, Lord, we want to lay down the things that we've carried with us. Father, we want to surrender them before you and open our hearts and our minds to you today and say, Lord God, would you have your way? Would you come and transform us and change us to be more like the people you want us to be? Father, we invite you to do your work here today. And as we worship you and as we praise you, we begin to open our hearts and our minds to all that you want to say and do in us. Father, thank you for your promise that wherever two or three gather, you are there with us. And so we now look forward to being in your presence in this time that we share together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to begin by singing our first song together, which is 1,222, if you're following in the books at all. And there's words on the screen, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. So as we've just prayed, let that be what we're doing today. We're spending time in God's presence, waiting upon him and asking him to strengthen us for what lies ahead. So strength will rise.
Shall we sing? Stand to sing.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We'll wait upon the Lord. We'll wait upon the Lord. Our strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Strength will rise.
Our strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not think you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. You are the
move straight into our next song, which is number 200, if you're following in the books. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Again, a song about how God never leaves us or forsakes us, but it's always with us. So let's declare this truth today. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, our Father. One of the privileges that we have as followers of God, believers of God, is this relationship where we can come to Him in prayer and we can talk openly to Him. And that's what we're going to do at this point in time. There's a great line in Great is Thy Faithfulness, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. And maybe we make that the focus of our prayers this morning, that we pray for strength today for us here, for the things we're facing, but also for our nation, with the upcoming elections and with the situations that we see around the world as well, that people will find strength. But also in the midst of these quite challenging times, people also find hope, a bright hope for their future. So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege that it is to be able to talk with You, to talk to You and to listen to You. Father, thank You for the confidence that we have when we come to You in prayer, that we know that You hear us, and that when we ask things in accordance with Your will, we know that You will answer them. And so, Father, today we come and we want to pray for strength for today and for a bright hope for tomorrow. We pray that in the context as we look around the world and we see the conflicts that are taking place. Lord, the fighting that continues to go on in the Ukraine with Russia. And Father, the wars that are raging in other parts of the world as well. Lord God, we pray that You would strengthen men and women, boys and girls in these places. That the churches in those countries, in those cities, we'll be able to rise up and offer strength and support to those that are suffering. And in doing so, they open up people's eyes and hearts to a hope, a bright hope for a future with you, God. Father, we pray for peace. We pray you would raise up peacemakers that can facilitate this, Lord God. And God, you are the God for whom all things are possible. And so even though we are here hundreds and thousands of miles away from these conflicts, God, our prayers can make a difference. So we pray for peace and for resolution where there is conflict in our world. Father, as we look at our own nation, the main issue on the table at the moment is the upcoming elections. And God, as we vote to decide who will govern our land, Father, we pray for wisdom. Father, we pray for each of us that you'd give us wisdom in how to use our votes. But Father, again, we pray that at this time of change, that Lord, you would appoint the right men and women into the roles of authority that will govern this land well. Father, again, would you raise up men and women that have a faith in you, that are believers in you, to gain prominent positions that can influence policies and decisions that govern our land. Father God, we pray that in this election, your will be done. And Father, we pray too for ourselves, Lord God. We bring ourselves before you. We bring those that we know of, our loved ones, Father, our families, our friends, our colleagues. And God, we just bring them before you and pray that where they need strength for today, they will find it in you. That their strength will rise as they wait upon God, as they call upon your name. Father, whether that's because of a health condition, we pray healing and restoration for those that are suffering. God, whether it's in their mind, Father, we pray for peace and comfort where there is disturbance. And God, we do pray for a bright hope where there is despair and gloom. And Father, in the stillness, we just bring before you the things that are on our hearts and on our minds, knowing that you hear them and you answer them. Father, your word tells us to be still and know that you are God. And I pray that in these moments together, we will have that real knowledge, not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge of who you are as our God. A God who is faithful, a God who is great and mighty, and a God who will bring us strength and fill us with hope. And Father, we thank you that you call us to be in a relationship with you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We're going to take a look at the scriptures that we're going to be unpacking a bit together later. And like I said at the start, it's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, part of the series that you're doing here at Duncan Road on the book of Romans. And don't be fooled that just because it's two verses, it's going to be a short message. Oh, no. I was tempted just to keep it very brief, and I thought, no. No, it's not going to be too long, don't worry, equally. But we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. And it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And as I will look at later, they're just two verses, but there is so much in those two verses that Paul wrote to the church in Rome that we're going to look at together and ask God to start to transform us and change us a little bit more today. But I'm now going to hand over for the kids' spot.
Stage with this one here. Right. I'm going to need plenty of space for this. Right. Now, for this, I am going to need a willing volunteer, or at least a volunteer, or maybe a victim. Now, I need someone who is good at catching things. Would anyone here claim to be good at catching things? It doesn't have to be a child, it could be an adult. It could be anyone. And what my children know is if no one volunteers, they become the unwilling victims. Abigail, come and join me on the stage. She was not expecting that, but there we go. Now, it's okay, there is no fire today. There is no water today. You are in luck. There's not even any push-ups on stage. No, we've had those before. No, something entirely new for us this morning. Now, you're dressed quite nicely. Okay, that was a mistake. Okay. Because you see, what we're going to need to do, if you can just hold my mic for me. Is I have brought my props with me this morning. I have brought two eggs with me. And I'm going to stand on one side of the stage, and Abby is going to stand on the other and catch the egg, which could be a little bit nasty for her dress, but it's okay, I came prepared. We have a very fetching apron that she might want to wear for when she catches the egg, so that she won't get any stains on her dress. And just to appease the staff who clean this place, the volunteers that clean, we'll put a cloth on the floor too, okay, underneath you. So if you could spread that out underneath you, that would probably be a wise plan in case it splats on the floor also, okay. So you might want to have it nice and high up over your neck so we don't have any accidents here, okay. So Abigail is going to have to choose her egg very wisely, okay. Because it will be far better if the one she caught happened to be hard-boiled, don't you think? So the first thing she's going to have to do is she's going to have a good look at them from afar to tell me which one she thinks looks hard-boiled. Oh, very, very beautifully done there. Okay, so let me just put the microphone down a second. You can all take a good look and see what you think might be the hard-boiled one and which might be the soft-boiled one, okay? I'll hold them very carefully because I don't want to splat them in my hand. So, Abigail, take a good look. Which is the hard-boiled one, do you think, that you'd rather catch? What are you fancying at the moment? She's fancying that one, okay. Right, well, hang on a second. What if I was to write on this one, hard-boiled? Are you going to change your mind? Because it says the other one, hard-boiled, on it. It's not going to change your mind. You're still going to go for this one. Oh. Fair enough. Okay, right. Well, let's get ourselves ready then. You're sure you want to go for this one? There's still time to change your mind. Okay, how hard would you like me to throw it? Okay, fair enough. Right. Okay, are you ready then? Three. Can you give me a countdown, please? Three, two, one. Oh! You got the hard-boiled one. It didn't smash. Thank you very much. You can sit down. Lucky for you, lucky for the floor. Okay, it didn't smash in her hands, which is good, you see, because she couldn't look at the egg and say, that's a hard-boiled one, because a soft-boiled egg and a hard-boiled egg on the outside look exactly the same, don't they? And the thing is, even if an egg says it's hard-boiled on the outside, does that change the inside? Does that make it hard-boiled on the outside, in the inside, just because it says so on the outside? If you were to go home and get an egg box and write hard-boiled on all the eggs, would that make them hard-boiled on the inside? No. And it's the same with our lives too. Now you see, if Stuart can flick us on, if you looked at that crowd of people on the screen there, which one do you think is the Christian? Any guesses? Which one do you think it is? Are any of them Christians? Are all of them Christians? Can you tell by looking at them? No. Okay, what if they were to wear stickers saying, I come to Duncan Road Church? Would that make the difference? What if we were to stick Christian on their forehead? Would that change things? No. Because you see, being a Christian has nothing to do with the outside. It's all to do with what's on the inside. Now you see, my egg here, that's hard-boiled, fortunately for Abby, isn't the same as it was when we bought it. It's changed. What did I do to make it change? I boiled it in water. I gave it a good 10-minute boiling, just in case, and I boiled it. And it's transformed it. It used to be a runny egg, and now it's a hard egg inside. I won't prove it to you, but it is. It's been transformed. But you see, an egg is quite different from a lot of other things. Now, if I brought a bar of chocolate and put that into water and boiled it, what would have happened to the solid chocolate? It would have melted. What if I brought an ice cube and put it in boiling water? What would have happened to it? It would have melted into water as well. And so eggs are a bit different because I heated this one up and it didn't turn runnier. It went harder. And if we're a Christian, we're not a Christian because we come to church or because we say so or we look like one, whatever a Christian might look like. We're a Christian because we've been transformed by God on the inside. And the way that we're transformed, the way we live, will be very different from other things. We're not like chocolate or ice cubes, we're like eggs. And so the way it might affect you is, when others are pressurizing you to do something wrong, you go, no, that's not God's way. I'm going to be different. Or maybe when someone's hurting someone, actually you're there caring for people. When others are using not nice words, you are using different encouraging words, praising words, because God changes you on the inside. And the way you are on the inside affects how you behave on the outside. Just like an egg can transform to hard-boiled, so God, when he transforms us, changes how we behave on the outside. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be like everyone else. Be transformed into the people God wants you to be. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you, David. That's great. I'm really tempted to juggle those eggs and see which one is actually which, but I'm not going to. We're going to sing a song again now. Sorry, just now you've sat down. Great are you, Lord. And again, as God changes us and transforms us, it's so that we get to live the fullest life possible. Jesus came to say, I came that you might have life and life in its fullness. So God's transforming of us and changing of us is not it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing, so that we get to live the life that he wants us to live. And so let's sing this together, that God gives life because he is love, and he brings light to our darkness. He is great. Great are you, Lord.
So this is one we learnt last week, so hopefully you'll be a bit more familiar with this time. So let's stand and sing this one together.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord,
you give life,
you give life, you are love. Bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
It's your breath,
it's your breath in our lungs, so we your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. And great are you, Lord,
and all the earth,
and all the earth will shout. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
It's your breath
in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we
Great are you, Lord.
Great are you, Lord.
We're going to sing again. We're going to carry on praising God and declare that over all the earth, God reigns. And the chorus of this song, if I remember rightly, then goes on to say, Lord, reign in me, reign in my heart. And again, that's where we started this morning, is saying, God, have your way in us. So let's, as we worship God, let's just reaffirm that before we get into his word together today. Lord, reign in me.
Over all the earth you reign on high, every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again?
Over every thought.
Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord. 'Cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? So won't you reign in me again?
Amen. So, children, you are now going to your classes upstairs, I believe. And I hope you have a fantastic time and learn lots. And those of us that are left here, we're going to look at Romans 12, 1 to 2 together and unpack a bit more about what these scriptures have to say to us. And that they're those kind of parts of the Bible that are probably quite familiar to us because we've read them a lot before or we've heard them referenced before. They get quoted in other sermons to make other points as well. And they're very familiar verses. So it's really good sometimes to stop and take a closer look at verses that we can easily just sort of overlook and go, oh yeah, we know Romans 12, 1 to 2. We know about the living sacrifice thing. We know what it means, what it says. But it's great to have an opportunity to stop and almost take stock of how we're applying this to our own lives in a way and how we're actually living these scriptures out. And like I said, it's only two verses, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be a shorter message necessarily because there's so much in these two verses that Paul writes to the church in Rome. And that then other believers around the area at the time would have read it. And here we are thousands of years later, and we have these words to read and apply to our own lives as well. And the two verses almost can be separated out into the fact that there are two parts to it. I think, did I put it up? No, we'll come back to that. That Romans 12, 1 to 2, is verse 1 is almost like a command or a requirement that Paul is asking of people. It's to present yourself as a living sacrifice. So to give yourself as a sacrifice to God, that is the worship that is holy and pleasing. And then verse 2 is a little bit of like the how do you do that? Because how do you present yourself as a sacrifice? Well, you ask God to transform you and change you so that the way that you live is holy and pleasing to God. Now, again, that is the short version of the sermon this morning, really. That's verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12. And for me, when I read it, that seems to be what it is saying. It's the command is to be a living sacrifice, and we do that by allowing God to transform us so that we please him with our lives. And for me personally, these are verses that I come back to a lot in my own Christian life. I became a Christian when I was 14, and that was in 1989, so it's over 35-ish years ago now that I've been living in a relationship with God. And these verses are things that you come back to quite often in your journey with God, because you have to keep asking God and allowing God to transform you and change you at different times, because there are different things that he wants to highlight. And in some ways, when you read Romans 12, 1 to 2, they're a bit like a simple formula for living a life with God. Present yourself as a living sacrifice, let God transform you. And it seems easy when you read it like that. But as I'm sure you can testify to the fact, if you've been in a relationship with God for any period of time, it's not that easy to live this out in a reality and in the world that surrounds us. And it can be a really difficult thing to do, because the culture in which we live and the world in which we live does seek to influence us. Like that boiling water that changes the egg, the world around us seeks to change us into something different. And we get these constant forces working against us, and especially in the times in which we live currently, there are lots of different pressures that come our way. I have three children. Our youngest is 15, an 18-year-old, and then a son who's just turned 20. And I don't envy them growing up in the time in which we live, because of the different influences and the things that are around nowadays that affect not just young people, but all of us in different ways. So we face the challenges of the outside world, the boiling water that is seeking to change us and transform us into something else. And Paul warns against that we're not to conform to those things. But we also face the challenge from within ourselves as well. Because I've quoted these verses before, and again, I come back to them a lot. In Galatians 5, Paul says this, that the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is opposite of what the Spirit wants, and the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And these two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. So not only do we have the boiling water of the world around us trying to conform us and change us, we actually have stuff within us, our sinful nature that still lives within us, trying to change us and control us. And the enemy uses that sinful nature to try and stop us becoming all that God wants us to be. And he has done that since the beginning of time. And so to live as a sacrifice to God, which is pleasing to him, we fight against everything around us and the stuff within us. And so how do we do this? Well, it's by allowing God to transform us on a daily basis. It's a one-time thing when we get saved and his Spirit is placed within us. But to be transformed by God into a living sacrifice is a regular daily occurrence. Like I said, these verses have played quite a key part in my own walk with God, my own relationship with God. And there was a particular time back in 2019, and I remember it because I keep little journals occasionally, and I wrote some notes down. In 2019, it was in May, I was in Borden, which is North Hampshire, somewhere. I was staying there for a few days with my son. He was doing some work experience, and I was just chilling out and doing some writing and creating, which was quite nice. And I went for a walk in the woods. I remember the place, and God just led me to these scriptures, and I was praying, and I was reading them. And alongside this, God spoke to me from Ephesians 4 as well. And Ephesians 4 says, instead, Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So I read this about letting the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. And I read Romans 12, 1-2, which says in the New Living Translation that I tend to read, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And there was a small word that jumped out at me in both of these verses. And it was the word let. L-E-T. Let. Because you see, the level of change that we experience in our relationship with God is actually determined by us. Whether we let God transform us, whether we let the Spirit renew us, our thoughts and our attitudes. And I really felt God helped me with this in terms of saying that let can be easily thought of as living every day transformed. That's what those letters can mean. That to let God transform us is living every day as a transformed person. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're just going to look at what that means, those three words. So firstly, to live as a living sacrifice. Now, living sacrifice is one of those, is an oxymoron, it's called in literary terms. An oxymoron is when two words are put together in a sentence that don't look like they should go together. So somebody might talk about, that was organized chaos. Well, those two words don't really go together, but when they do, you understand what somebody means. Organized chaos. Or the silence was deafening. Like there, you see? A deafening silence. Again, you can't have a silence that is deafening. So these two words don't really go together, but they're put together in a sentence to communicate something. And for me, Romans 12, 1 here, when we talk about a living sacrifice, is a bit of an oxymoron. Because a sacrifice, by its very nature, is something that is killed off, or is allowed to die, or is laid down and is put down. It's surrendered and given up. So the word speaks of something coming to an end, whereas living is quite the opposite. Living is something being born. It is alive. It is well. It is flourishing. It is full and it is hopeful. And so when you put living and sacrifice together, what God is saying, what Paul is saying to us in Romans 12 here, is that we are to be people that lay down and let die the things that are in us that are sinful, the human desires, the thoughts and the ways, in order to come alive to God and the things that he has in store for us, so that ultimately we reach that fullness of life that Jesus came to offer us, that he speaks about in John 10, verse 10. So we are to present ourselves as these living sacrifices each day to God, because that is the way to truly worship him. And why would we do this? Well, again, Paul makes it clear. And all of these scriptures are Romans 12, verse 1. They're just from different translations. But they help us to understand a little bit about why we would do this, why we would seek to make the effort to be a living sacrifice. The Passion Translation says, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercy? The New Living Translation that I read says that because of all that he has done for us, we should give our bodies as a sacrifice to God. The Amplified Version, which likes to just put in a lot of extra words, it seems, that's its thing, it says that our rational, logical, intelligent act of worship in response to what God has done is to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. It's rational, it makes sense. It's the logical, the only logical response when you stop and you take a moment to remember what God has done for us, how he sent his son Jesus to die on that cross for us so that we could know forgiveness for our past. We get to live new life today and we always have that hope, that glorious hope for a future. You see, when we stop and we really consider again what God has done for us, how Jesus gave his life for us, the only logical, rational response is to give all of ourselves back to God in worship as a living sacrifice. The King James Version says it's your reasonable service. And again, when you think about all that God has done for us, our reasonable service to him is to offer ourselves up fully. We're going to sing, not right now. I told you it wasn't a short service. Our last song today is I Will Offer Up My Life. And that is the heart response that God is looking for from all of us, is to say, God, I am a living sacrifice. I put aside and I lay down all the things that are not of you, the sinful nature, the external influences, and I want to live and please you. And this is something that we are called to do every day and in every way. The Message translation of Romans 12, verse 1 says this: to take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Take your everyday, ordinary life. So it's not just when we come together as the corporate body of Christ, the church, on a Sunday, when we gather in homes in the midweek meetings or go to city events, it's not just then that we offer God a living sacrifice. It's every day of our lives in everything that we say and do. It's a lifestyle that is born out of this immense gratitude for all that God has done for us. And we are to let God have access to every area of our life, because he wants to help us and enable us to become that new creation that he called us to be. And he has the power to change us. Sometimes you meet people, don't you? And I probably have periods of this in my own life as well, where there's an area of your life where there's something going on and you think, oh, I don't know if I could ever change. Have you ever met people that say, well, I don't know if I can ever change? And you see, for me, I believe it's only God that can help people to truly change and transform, because he has the power to do that. Another one of my favorite parts of the Bible is Ephesians 3:20. This says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. And again, the Message translation of Ephesians 3:21 says that God does this not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently working within. You see, God doesn't force any of us into changing. He asks us, he requests it, he requires it, but he never forces it, which is why it's up to you and me to let God transform us by changing the way we think, to let the Spirit renew our thoughts and our attitudes. God could just make us all be the people he wants us to be, but he gave us that freedom to choose, that free will, which is why it's up to us to let God do that work in us, to change us. Philippians 2:13 says that God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. And again, there's this thing that God is already planted within each of us as his children, a desire to please him, a desire to want to live as a living sacrifice every day, for that to be our worship. But God doesn't just leave it there and we're left frustrated going, oh no, I don't know how to do this. It says that he then also has the power, he gives us the power, to do what pleases him. So he gives us the inclination and the desire to be transformed, and then he gives us the power, and his power at work in us does the transformation. And so we can ask God to help us live as a living sacrifice every day, to let God transform us. And there'll be days when that's harder. There'll be days when you're feeling a bit weak because we're all human and we live in a fallen world. And in those moments, we have the promise from God that it's in our weakness that his power is made perfect. And sometimes, and I don't know if you've done this, but sometimes as a Christian, when I'm feeling weak, that's when I tend to try and do things more on my own strength. Because I'm like, oh, I've got to try harder. I've got to work more for God to do this or to achieve this for God, to change and be transformed. And yet God is saying, actually, it's in those moments of weakness that my power can work best within you. So don't walk that way. Walk toward me and ask me to help you be transformed. And then let his power work within you. So we live every day transformed, changed by God. Verse 2 of the Passion Translation of Romans 12 says this, "Be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think." A total reformation of how you think. And the Passion Translation is a reasonably new, I know it definitely was around in 2017, so it's not that new, but it's one of the newer translations. And when I read this for the first time, again, it was just this sort of new understanding of what this scripture means, what Paul was saying, that it's a total reforming of how we think and our attitudes towards the world, towards other people. It's every aspect of our lives being aligned to God's ways, to God's thoughts, and to God's standards. And the thing is, this is always going to be a work in progress, because until we get to heaven, we're never going to be fully free of this world and its influences. And so it will always be a work in progress. But God, who begins the work, always sees it through to completion, because that's what Scripture says. And it's up to us to continue letting him and allowing him to do his work in us. As I said earlier, there is a general election coming up. You've probably seen or heard a bit about it on the news. Yeah, had leaflets bombarded through your door, etc. Well, one of the parties, and this is in no way a political statement, this is for a sermon illustration. I'm not waving any flags here, far from it, as you will see when I mention this word. But one of the parties that are running in the election is called the Reform Party. And I won't say any more. I don't support them, I don't endorse them in any way, but one of their slogans that they've been using recently on the side of buses and on their website is, "Britain is broken, Britain needs reform." And as I read that, I thought, actually there is truth in that, because we do live in a nation that in many ways is broken. There are parts of our society that are not in good shape. Britain, our land, is a broken land, and Britain needs change. It needs reform. But I know, it's not necessarily going to come through political mandates and policies and politicians in Westminster. I believe that God wants to use reformed people to reform our nation. God wants to use transformed people to mend broken Britain. And so that means that that's people like you and me. However old we might be here this morning, God wants to use us in our lives, in our situations, to transform our little part of Britain that we live in, that we work in, that we study in, that we serve in. It needs men and women who are being transformed on a daily, regular basis to make a difference, to change the world in which we live. Philippians 2:15 says, "Live clean and innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people." Does that sound a little bit like Britain today? It does, doesn't it? And yet men and women of God, boys and girls of God, are called to shine bright in this world. And Romans 12 tells us not to conform to the world. Romans 12:2. So don't try and copy the customs and the behaviors of this world. Instead, be transformed, be boiled like that egg so that you are different from the world around you. In Philippians and in Romans, Paul is saying the same thing, to shine bright in the midst of darkness rather than being dimmed by the darkness. Because it's so easy, let's be really honest, it's so easy to allow the light that is within us to be dimmed by the world around us. As we shy away from things, as we don't speak up or maybe be as forthright with our thoughts on things and our what we feel God would say about situations for fear of retaliation and all those sorts of stuff. And yet we are called to shine brightly in darkness. Not conform to the culture, but change the culture by being in it and shining brightly in it. Now, these are big, grand statements. I sound a bit like a politician, don't I? Running for an office or something. But we're talking about God, a God for whom all things are possible, a God for whom this book is full of the things that he has done in the past. And towards the end of it, it says that he's the same today as he was yesterday, and he'll be the same tomorrow. So the God that has done all of these amazing things in here, and the testimonies that we have down through history of men and women that have had an incredible impact on the world because they were transformed by God, it's the same God that speaks to each and every one of us right here, right now, today, and says, let me transform you. Let me let your light shine a bit brighter into the darkness. And as we do that, as we pray that, he will show us ways. He will open up opportunities for us to shine brightly. Again, the Message translation says in Romans 12:2, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. And you know, I'll admit I've had times in my life where you sort of start to develop a little habit, nothing big or major, but just little lifestyle things. And then eventually down the road, somewhere challenges you on it. And you go, oh, wow, yeah, I didn't see that happening. And you have to come back to God and say, God, change me again, transform me again in that area of my life. And God, who is full of grace and mercy that we've sung about this morning and that we've spoken about, is ready to receive us, to forgive us, to restore us, dust us off, and set us off again to live transformed lives. Be reformed and transformed into the person God created us to be so that we can go and be part of transforming our nation and shining brightly for Jesus. And like I said, Romans 12:1 and 2 is kind of a simple formula for living with God, living every day transformed, being a sacrifice, allowing him to change us. And then there's this other bit which comes at the end of Romans 12:2 that says, because when you do these things, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is pleasing and perfect. Now, I don't know about you, but I would love to know God's will for my life every day, every moment. Anybody else? Yeah. Because sometimes we have those seasons, don't we, of going, oh God, what do you want me to do? What is on your heart? Show me what to do. Send me out. Tell me where you go. What's my calling? How should I serve you? And yet again, the simplicity of Romans 12, 1-2 is that if you live as a living sacrifice, if you let God transform you into a new person, then you will know God's will for you, which is pleasing and perfect. Simple, as the meerkats would say. But it's hard to apply this to our daily life. And so how do we do it? We let God do his work in us. We lay down ourselves, our agendas, our thoughts, our timetables, and we say, God, here I am. Transform me into the person that you want me to be so that I can shine for you. As we do that, we live every day of our lives as transformed, redeemed people of God, ready to shine bright. There we go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is powerful. And I pray that today, we will have heard your Holy Spirit speaking to us. That, Father, we would have heard you inspiring us and challenging us, helping us, God. And as we recommit our hearts and our minds to you, we say, God, we let you do your work in us. We give you permission and we allow you to transform us to be those living sacrifices. And God, as we go from this place and as we wake up tomorrow morning, maybe we need to pray that again and say, God, today I will live as a sacrifice to you. Transform me again to be the person you want me to be. Father, thank you that you are a God of incredible grace that forgives our mistakes, that understands our weaknesses, and loves us no matter what. Nothing can separate us from your love. But Father, inspire us and challenge us today, I pray, to seek to live differently for you in our daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we all know what's coming next, don't we? We're going to sing together, I Will Offer Up My Life, which is number 990, if you're following in books. If not, the words are already up on the screen. I will offer up my life as an act of worship to God. So let's declare this together as we end our time this morning.
Do you want to stand if you're able?
Father, our words cannot tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by our grateful and thankful hearts. So, Father, as we go from this place, help us to live in that gratitude of who you are and of all that you have done for us, knowing that you promise to go with us, you never leave us, you never abandon us. And that, Father, your face is smiling down upon us. Help us, Lord, to reflect your love and your light into the world in which we live. In Jesus' name, amen.